This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to the Hockey News Podcast. I'm your host, Edward Fraser, here with Matt Larkin and Ryan Kennedy. Today, part two of the playoff preview, where we'll be looking at the Eastern Conference. Ken Campbell continues to be in Saskatchewan, where he's covering the tragedy in Humboldt. For any coverage of that, head over to thehockeynews.com. Let's start off by looking at Tampa Bay and New Jersey. We're going to break down each series by category. Let's start by talking about the offense in this series.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it's hard to find a better offense in the East. I mean, the amount of weapons they have at their disposal, even with Steven Stamkos banged up, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Yanni Gord having an amazing year, Tyler Johnson, Alex Killorn, Chris Kunitz. I mean, you just go on, and the fact that they can also bring guys up from the blue line to help out makes this one of their best categories. And even the way that they are coached by John Cooper, it encourages high-end, high-impact plays. They are willing to trade chances because they know that no matter who they play, they have the best weapons. And I think even though New Jersey has Taylor Hall, who has had a Hart Trophy-worthy campaign, I just feel Tampa Bay is too good here.
Yeah, I agree. It's one we can't overthink. I mean, Tampa's offense is almost generational. It's one of the best offenses in the entire salary cap era in terms of its goals per game. It's super elite, and it's up there with Winnipeg and Pittsburgh and Toronto in terms of like just the big names that just burn you no matter what line's out there. Even JT Miller's another guy. He's been a point per game player since coming over in the trade in the Ryan McDonagh deal as the supposed throw-in. Taylor Hall's been fantastic, but his closest teammate is 41 points behind him. Tampa's secondary scoring options like Braden Point and Yanni Gord would be probably the second best offensive player on the Devils.
Right.
So this is one where it's very obvious. Tampa's got an elite, probably the best offense in the NHL.
Yeah. On the defensive side, it's probably just as skewed.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, sometimes when a team is amazing offensively, people forget that it's still a good team defensively. And yes, I think Tampa's penalty killing has been atrocious. Like, It's been non-playoff team bad.
Yeah.
And I think if there's going to be any weakness that New Jersey can exploit, it will be the penalty killing of the Lightning. But in terms of even strength, I mean, you still have Victor Hedman out there. You have Ryan McDonagh now. You have Anton Strahlman. I mean, those three alone are better than anything New Jersey can counter with. I do think that Tampa Bay is the better team in pretty much every category. Mm. It's no disrespect to the Devils. I mean, they're the 8 seed. Yeah. Tampa Bay is the number 1 seed. Tampa Bay was in contention for the President's Trophy all year. And, I mean, Victor Hedman, especially in the playoffs, he's the kind of guy that you can up his ice time if you want to. You can play him 29 minutes, 30 minutes in a game if you feel it's necessary. And few defensemen can control a game the way he can.
Yeah, it's funny. Statistically, they're not actually that different in terms of goals against. And when you factor in Tampa's poor penalty killing, it's for me, it's not as wide a gulf as you would think. But when you look at New Jersey's defense, you know, Sami Vatanen was obviously a nice add in the Adam Henrique deal. But it's a very workmanlike defense corps for the Devils. There's not a lot of skill that jumps out necessarily, with the exception of Will Butcher, who's had a pretty fine rookie season for the Devils. You know, if they were playing a team that wasn't as potent as Tampa Bay, then I would make some sort of allusion to, like, Pittsburgh's defense last year when they didn't have Chris Letang. And it's like, well, you know, you get the puck up to the skilled forwards, and that's all you need to do. But I don't think that's going to wash in this series. You know, they've been decent, and Keith Kincaid and Net really saved them down the stretch. But when you look at what the Lightning D can do, how they activate, how they join the rush, the contributions they can make on the back end when it comes to offense, you have to give the edge to the Lightning once again.
We talked about it yesterday in the 1-8 series with Nashville, the pressure that's on them as the big-time favorite, a favorite to go to the Cup. Any chance that Tampa has that similar pressure and maybe they fade?
I think they definitely are under a lot of pressure. The good thing is Tampa's been in deep waters recently. I mean, they went to the final in 2015 and they went to the conference final the year after that. So I think they have enough big game seasoning that I think if there's pressure, it's going to come maybe in like an Eastern Conference final if they, let's say they're playing Pittsburgh, when it's like, okay, we need to get over the hump now. But I don't see it. I don't see them succumbing to it, at least in round one. Mm. But the one X factor I really think the Bears watching is Andre Vasilevsky, because he was the Vezina Trophy front runner for most of the season. But I was saying it all year, Tampa didn't have a good enough backup goaltender, and Vasilevsky played too much, most he'd ever played in his life by I think about 20 games. And I think he really did show signs of fatigue after the All-Star break. Tampa should have had, I mean, 3 months ago it looked like Tampa was entering the playoffs with the best goalie in the league. Mm. And now your goalie's a question mark when he's supposed to be your star. So I'm very curious to see if Vasilevsky can bounce back and sort of show his first half self. The good news is New Jersey's goaltending it's a question mark too. I mean, Keith totally. Kincaid played great, but do you want Keith Kincaid to be your starter or do you want Corey Schneider to be the guy you're relying on who has a better track record? But either way, I think the fact that there's uncertainty, I mean, I've said it for years, I hate when teams go into the playoffs with cloudy goaltending because then every goalie who gets the start, he's just looking over his shoulder after every single goal, wondering if he's getting the hook. So mm-hmm. even if Kincaid is the guy, he gives up 2 goals in the first period of game one. Is he looking over already saying, oh, okay, is Corey Schneider coming in? Mm-hmm. I think it's always dangerous when a team doesn't have it really narrowed down.
Yeah, and for me, the X factor, it comes down to, again, like we talked about this on the other podcast, about Nashville and Colorado, where when I look at New Jersey, I see a team that had to expend a lot of energy just getting into the playoffs. And, you know, it's awesome that Taylor Hall is finally getting into the postseason for the first time in his career. I'm sure he is totally stoked about that. But I sense that there could be a letdown. Now, having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if the Devils won maybe games one or two, not both, but if they like steal the first game and Tampa's sort of like, okay, we should get into the series, mm-hmm. you know. But overall, I just think New Jersey, like, they've done the best they can this year and they should be proud of what they accomplished because they were in a very difficult division. And Taylor Hall even missed time due to injury and they still managed to get in there. So, you know, good for them, but I feel like there might be a bit of a wake-up call early on.
Series pick?
I have the Lightning in six. I don't think it's going to be a walk. I think the Devils are a good team, and I think they're going to give them a pretty good fight, but the talent will prevail. And I agree with Ryan. Maybe they'll get a scare early in the series, especially if Vasilevsky has one of those games where he gives them 5 goals. But I think it's going to be okay. In the long run, the talent will win out. So Lightning in six.
I also say Lightning in six. I agree with Matt.
I feel like it's a little disrespectful to Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I think there's, you know, when a team has such high expectations and when they're, you know, with Vasilevsky fading a bit and with the lineup a little banged up, I think you have to give New Jersey some credit here that if they really play hard, and actually, another quick X factor. Nico Hischier, when he plays pressure games, he is unstoppable. You look at the World Juniors, you look at what he's done in his junior career at least, he gets up for the big game. So I'm excited to see what Nico Hischier does.
The other thing too is Tampa had those speed wobbles down the stretch because kind of like Washington the last couple of years, they were so far ahead so early. They didn't have meaningful hockey to play. So I see this series, it's funny, New Jersey's reminded me of last year's Leafs all year, and I see this being very similar to the Washington-Toronto series last year where the Leafs gave Washington a pretty good scare, but couldn't beat them. It went 6 games. Mm. So I see it being a similar result.
But Tampa, I mean, they turned it back on when they needed to. When Boston started nipping at their heels, and especially when they faced off late in the season, Tampa took them to the woodshed. You know, and that to me was a real confidence boost for Tampa. The one thing I will say is they want to dispose of New Jersey quickly because the series that they're going to have to play next against either Boston or Toronto is going to be a much tougher test. And if for a team with cup aspirations, you want to get things out of the way early and get onto your tough tests. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to that Boston and Toronto series, I want to say that, Matt, you may have the worst handwriting I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah, man, it's my trademark.
Matt made me little notes of the series quickly just so that when my failing old man brain forgot who was facing each other, he wrote down the series. And you've got something that, for your eyes, that look... You know, wow. I guess they look like S's. More realistically, they look like backward Z's.
Or fives.
Yeah.
I thought that was your license plate.
Yeah, it's never been my forte. And I worked at a hardware store when I was in my teens, and I wasn't allowed to write the signs. I also was banned from the light bulb aisle because I broke too many light bulbs.
Wow. It looks like PS1 is playing PH5.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We're going to move on to the Bzzz versus the Fixed series later on. But anyway, let's get to Boston and Toronto. This series is going to be a great series. Let's look at the offense of both these teams, both two potent offensive teams.
Yeah, I mean, this series is going to be really... This is the series I had the most trouble predicting. Offensively, both teams have good offenses. I mean, the Bruins have still arguably the best line in the NHL. The Marchand Bergeron...
Who's arguing?
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Good point. I give the Leafs a slight edge in overall offense, though, because of Toronto's depth. And Toronto has the ability to split, like, star-caliber players onto several different lines. And especially you saw the second half of the season, the way Mitch Marner and Nazem Kadri struck some really nice chemistry. Then JVR caught fire as well. James Van Riems, like, he's on the third line. And then you still have the Austin Matthews line with William Nylander. So you have these little tandems on each line that make them so dangerous. And even the Leafs' fourth line has Kasperi Kapanen, who's one of the fastest players in the NHL, and he's even dangerous. So for all the Leafs' defensive shortcomings, they are an overwhelming team offensively. And when they're on and they're using their speed... I mean, they even embarrassed Nashville last month. That's how dangerous they can be. So I give a slight offensive edge to Toronto.
Yeah, I agree there. And I think the most dangerous thing right now is that Austin Matthews looks like he is at full capacity right now. And since returning from that shoulder injury, he has just been on fire. I think you never want to say that an injury helps, but I think in terms of him being fresh, having that break in the second half, probably not the worst thing in the world, because you get, you know, a young guy with a big frame that can do so many great things with the puck, and he's so difficult to pick up if you're a goaltender because of the way he masks his release, that, I mean, Boston, they're going to have Patrice Bergeron on him, like, every shift. I think that's obviously a key matchup in this series, and something that, you know, both Bruce Cassidy and Mike Babcock are going to do behind the bench and figure that one out. But if Austin Matthews gets loose, I think that's going to be a big problem for Boston. Offensively, the Bruins, you know, they have some nice weapons apart from that top line. They're a little banged up right now. You know, Rick Nash with a concussion. And even though they do have a lot of great young players, they have very interesting depth right now. When you look at their bottom two lines, where a lot of interchangeable pieces, and they're really going to have to figure out who the best guys are for this series and do it quickly. Because as you mentioned, Matt, you know, Toronto goes four lines deep. And, you know, if they have to, they can even bring in Andreas Janssen on that fourth line. And that's an even bigger matchup problem when you're dealing with those guys that aren't playing that much, because he's got a ton of skill there as well. So I think this is going to be a really fun series if these teams kind of open up the gates.
Does Boston have the big advantage defensively that it looks like they do on paper?
Yes, I really think Boston does. And I think, I mean, everyone's known all year, the biggest weakness with the Leafs is they absolutely bleed shot attempts, and Frederik Andersen gets shelled game in and game out. And Boston happens to be an elite possession team that's really good at generating shot attempts. So that's a very dangerous matchup for the Leafs. The Leafs don't have, I mean, Morgan Rielly's had a breakout season, but I don't think the Leafs have a truly elite, like, Norris Trophy caliber number one. I think Morgan Rielly's a kind of a number, a 1B or a great number two. But the Leafs don't have that really powerhouse shutdown presence. So I do think their defense is going to be a bit overwhelmed by Boston's forecheck. I think that's the biggest advantage that Boston is going to have in this series. And it's interesting because the Leafs have won 7 of 8 meetings against Boston over the past 2 years in the Auston Matthews era. But the one loss really jumped out at me, and it was the worst possession game of Auston Matthews' career. And he was matched up against Patrice Bergeron for that entire game. So I think Boston has the ability to flick that switch and go into real lockdown mode. And I think their defense is significantly better than Toronto's.
Frederik Andersen, lots of buzz around him for the Vezina Trophy. I think there was a little bit around Tuukka Rask as well. I think there should have been more. I watched a lot of Boston this year, and he is very, very good. Who gets the edge in goaltending in this series?
I mean, it's a very fair question. I think I would give it to Andersen only because I feel like you can get into Tuukka Rask's kitchen. Having said that, I know that, you know, Andersen has been bumped a couple of times this year, much to his anger, which is understandable. But, you know, Tuukka Rask, he does have a history of flying off the handle when things aren't going well. And, you know, I mean, hopefully he sorted that out for the playoffs. But I think if the Leafs can rattle him, and I'm looking at a guy like Leo Komarov, obviously, you know, that could be an X factor where you want Tuukka to be at the top of his game. You want him to be, you know, focused because he is a fantastic netminder. But the Leafs really do rely on Andersen. And I think, you know, he got a little bit of rest down the stretch because he did get banged up and missed a couple of games. Curtis McIlhenny came in and it was very good for them. But again, like when you have a starter and a key member of your franchise and he doesn't have to play all those games leading up to the playoffs, I think that's a nice little advantage when you rely on somebody like Andersen so much.
Tons of experience, though, for Tuukka Rask, including a cup ring, nearly 60 games of playoff experiences and just boffo numbers over those, you know, 60-ish games.
For sure. Although the one thing I'd say about Rask is he has a cup ring, but as a backup. I mean, he got to the cup as a starter and lost in the final in 2013. But again, he got that far. He was close to winning a cup. So he does have a big experience advantage over Andersen. But I mean, Andersen's been to a conference final 2015. I think goaltending's a wash personally, but I think Andersen's been more, other than a slow start, he's been more consistent, whereas Rask is dominant for 15, 20 games, then he has a weird stretch where he kind of sucks for a few games. And I do agree about the getting into his kitchen. I mean, especially if it's a game in Toronto where the crowd could get on him. So I think that the goaltending situation, I don't want to say it's not going to be a factor, but I just think it's even enough that something else will decide the series. I think if there's an X factor, I would watch the Bruins' health situation. The Leafs are the healthier team. Boston's already missing Brandon Carlo, who's a big, strong, young, shutdown defenseman.
Yeah.
And we think Rick Nash is going to be ready, but coming back from concussion, nothing's a sure thing. He could wake up the morning of game one and with a headache. And even David Backes is just, his body has been through the ringer. He's old for his age, and he's ready to go as far as I know, but he's one hit away from being knocked out of the series as well, right? So, I'm not going to say that's an advantage for the Leafs yet, but I'm just saying it's an X factor. If Boston runs into health problems, it could really change the series.
Yeah, and actually, for me, on a similar tip, Charlie McAvoy just coming off a big injury, is he 100%? Or is this a matter of him wanting to play in the postseason, the Bruins want him to play in the postseason, and you know he's healthy enough to go? What would have been the optimal time for him to return? And, you know, does he shake the rust off in time? Because he's a big part of that Boston Bruins team, even though he is such a young player. That tandem he has with Zdeno Chara has been fantastic this year. They're going to need those guys to be at 100% if they're going to take on that Leafs offense.
How important was it that McAvoy got a taste in the playoffs last year?
Oh, I think it was very good for him. You know, just being able to get comfortable. And, you know, it's the same thing we talked about on the other podcast about Ailey Tolvanen. You know, McAvoy last year was basically like, go and have fun, kid. Zero expectations. And, I mean, that's part of the reason Charlie McAvoy is great, because he has a very short memory for his mistakes and it doesn't hinder him. So if something goes wrong, he moves on. And for every one bad play he makes, he makes like 8 or 9 good plays. Mm-hmm. And that's a fantastic thing for a young defenseman that has his skill set, that has his mobility. And I think he can be a very big factor in this series if he's on his game.
Ryan, your prediction?
I'm going Bruins in 7.
I'm going to say Bruins in seven as well. I think it's the hardest series to pick. It's a coin flip, but if in doubt, you go with the team that has home ice advantage. And also, for some reason, we haven't mentioned Brad Marchand's name. It just didn't come up. But just a player like that who's elite offensively, but also has the ability to just get under a team's skin, and especially a young team like Toronto could force some frustration penalties out of them. He'll be an X factor too, but super close series, going to be super entertaining. Seven games, Boston.
As good as that series is going to be, is as intriguing as Washington and Columbus is for me. There are so many question marks in this series.
It's the Riddler series.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it'll be entertaining, no doubt, but there are so many things, so many variables to this series. Let's break everything down. Let's start with the offense first.
It's weird because, I mean, I guess you still have to give it to the Capitals. I mean, Alex Ovechkin, 49 goals. They have Kuznetsov, Backstrom. But they're not, I don't want to say your grandfathers, but they're not like your uncles. Like, right. They're not the Washington Capitals of like 5 years ago or even right. 2 years ago. They're not as deep as they were because guys like Jacob Vrana, Andrei Burakovsky didn't make the leaps that Washington really needed them to this season to replace like Marcus Johansson and Justin Williams. So I think Washington's a bit more top-heavy on offense than it used to be. Whereas Columbus is more all about depth. I mean, Artemi Panarin had a great season, but forward-wise, Columbus can roll many different lines that are dangerous. So they're very different that way. But at the same time, in terms of just the go-to high-end firepower, I give Washington a slight edge.
Yeah. No, I go Washington when it comes to the offense. You know, Columbus, I think there was a lot of guys in the Blue Jackets that didn't have the years we expected them to when it came to being forwards. You look at the Boone Jenners of the world, you know, even Cam Atkinson. I just think like more was expected from those players, and there is talent there for sure, and there are guys that I think can be game breakers and are becoming game breakers, like an Oliver Bjorkstrand. We haven't quite seen it yet. Panarin, obviously the great threat. My concern with Columbus is that right now they don't have that like true number one center. Pierre-Luc Dubois is their nominal number center, and maybe in 2 years he is that guy because he is still so young and he's growing into that role. Alexander Venberg is their number two. Kind of feels like that is his lot in life. I thought maybe he could be kind of a 1B, you know, like a David Krejci, Ryan Johansson, Kyle Turris kind of guy. But I think, you know, right now it's safe to say Venberg's number two. So when you're going up against the likes of Evgeny Kuznetsov and Nicholas Backstrom, are you confident that you can match up with the guys you have right now? I'm not sure, even though Columbus has a lot of other great elements, particularly on the back end, I'm not sure if that matchup is too skewed against them.
Let's talk about that back end. Is there any way John Carlson can, on his own, come close to overcoming how good Columbus's defense is?
Yeah, that's a major factor in the series. I mean, Seth Jones took a big leap forward this year. He's a dominant. I mean, he's becoming exactly what he was always supposed to be. Yeah. And obviously, Zach Werenski is also a fantastic young player. And Washington, I mean, their defense is very depleted. They lost some major bodies last year. Carl Osner, Kevin Shattenkirk. And I don't think they've fully recovered. They've done their best to try and give shots to young guys, Michael Kempney, Christian Juice, Madison Bowie throughout the year. But I just don't think the Caps are what they were. And they do have to rely a ton on John Carlson. And matchup-wise, when Carlson's not on the ice and Matt Niskanen's not on the ice, I think there's going to be an edge because Columbus is so deep at forward. And Columbus can bang, man. Like, they've got Nick Foligno, Boone Jenner, Pierre-Luc Dubois. That team can wear you down, wear your defense down. And I don't know if this Capitals team is tough enough to endure that onslaught.
Yeah, that's interesting. I give the edge to Columbus on defense. I mean, Zach Werenski and Seth Jones are just such primetime players. They're young guys. They can give you a ton of minutes. The one thing I will point out that goes against Columbus, horrible penalty kill. Just awful. And when you're playing against Alex Ovechkin and you don't have a very good penalty kill, I'm a little worried about what the end result of that is going to be. So I agree with you that, you know, it's kind of John Carlson and co against a Columbus unit that not only do you have Jones and Werenski, you know, at the top of it, but even like a role guy like an Ian Cole who has been through the playoff wars before. As long as you know your role, you can be very effective. And I think, you know, Columbus, all the guys on that team know what their jobs are, and I think that can be a big positive.
elite level goaltending for both teams, who gets the edge?
This one is this, like, when you guys talked about question marks before, this is a mess. Like, Sergei Bobrovsky has been, you know, 2-time Vezina Trophy winners, but I think I mentioned a stat a couple podcasts back among goaltenders, current goaltenders or goaltenders in the entire cap era with more than 10 playoff games played, he has second worst save percentage. Bobrovsky's been terrible in the playoffs, and Washington, Phil Grubauer, I believe, is going to start because he's beaten out Braden Holtby for the job. Braden Holtby. Like, we're talking Braden Holtby 2 years ago won the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah.
Second highest save percentage in playoff history. Braden Holtby. But now we don't even know if he's going to start. And even if he doesn't, again, as I said in the Western Conference podcast, the uncertainty... Or no, actually, no, I said it when I was talking about New Jersey. It was Kincaid Schneider. But the uncertainty factor, even if Grubauer gets the nod... Braden Holtby is a huge presence behind you.
Sure.
So if you start to struggle, you know that they're going to start thinking about bringing in Holtby, and I think it's going to be a mess. So it gives me a headache thinking about the goaltending on either side, which is weird to say about literally the last 2 Vezina Trophy winners.
Yeah, totally. And I guess the only silver lining if you're Washington is if Braden Holtby gets into the crease, I think he's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder and say, this is my crease, you know. I am Washington's starter. I am a Vezina Trophy winner. I need to prove it. I need to have a big run here. And if he can do that, then obviously the Caps are a lot more dangerous.
Do you not go with your historical horse in the playoffs, though? I mean, if you're going to win this, if you're Washington, Holtby's got to be your guy.
I agree. I mean, I know he hasn't had a great year, but I think the track record is still strong enough.
Well, that's what I mean about elite-level goaltending. Yeah. Like, that's... Yeah, he's had a down season, but he's got to be your guy. Like, you're not going to win it with Grubauer. And this is your last kick at the can.
And maybe he will be. And just for anyone listening, just understand that the time that we're recording this podcast, it's still up in the air. So by the time you're listening, they may have named the starter, but it's coming down to the wire.
Don't pull back the curtain.
Yeah. I'm showing you how the sausage gets made. Exactly. But the point is, that's how tight it is in terms of the uncertainty of naming the starting goalie. We still don't know officially. But I agree. You want Holtby to win this battle.
I think we've talked about nothing but X factors in this preview totally. So far. But is there something else that you're looking at this that we can cover off for this category?
I mean, I've said it before. Now that Washington isn't playing Pittsburgh and isn't expected to do much this year, does that mean there's a mental weight lifted off their shoulders? Is that a possible X factor? What do you guys think?
Well, I would say no, because they could face Pittsburgh in round 2.
I just think the pressure's, again, so high on Washington, and the fact that they've yet to do it, and with the looming Carlson free agency situation, I think the pressure's higher than ever on this team. Because really, you've got, I mean, they're not going to be able to re-sign him. I mean, unless you really maneuver more money around, which you don't have a lot
unless
of.
Unless you trade Holtby.
Well, that's a podcast unto itself. But, it's just, I think the pressure is even higher on this club to win again. Ovi not getting any younger.
Yes, very true. Right. I would say, I mean, an X factor for me would be Tom Wilson. This is a player that was very good in the postseason last year. And, you know, you talked about Columbus and the big bodies they have there. Tom Wilson is a big body, and he is a surly customer. I don't even think he's surly. I think he kind of enjoys... Mm-hmm. Just the physical aspect and being that power forward, that nasty character. I like to joke that he's kind of like the villain in a 1980s like teen comedy. You know, like Tom Wilson is like that like clean-cut bully, and he throws his weight around. And if you're a Caps fan, it's awesome because he gets a lot done. And we've seen that he can put points on the board and he can play on a top line. And that's very dangerous in my mind.
Who comes out on top?
I have Columbus in 7 games. I think this is going to be a close series and a physical series. But I agree with you, Ed, that there is a pressure. And it's funny, I admire Barry Trotz for being this frank. But I spoke to him about a month ago. And he was so open with the fact that, yes, there's a lot of pressure in the city of in Washington, D.C. because of this history of failure. It's a very real thing. And he admitted, yes, Pittsburgh had a mental edge over us last year. And I was thinking, man, that's really honest. But, man, that sucks. and it sucks that he, even the coach, feels that way.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if this is going to be the end of the Barry Trotz era. I think it will be if they lose this series. And I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to go with the deeper team, which is Columbus, in seven.
I'm going to go Washington in six. I think Ovi's going to have like five power play goals in the series, and that'll be the difference.
Yeah, I think Columbus comes out ahead. When I talk about that pressure, sometimes pressure is a good thing.
It forges diamonds.
Yeah, and some thrive on it, but Washington is a club that has historically shown they do not thrive on it, and I think Columbus comes out ahead in this series. In the Metro Division, the hockey gods have smiled upon us.
Yes,
once again with a Philadelphia matchup. Yeah. There might not be a series that I'm more excited about than this one. Obviously, on paper, when you've got Phil Kessel, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, they get the edge on offense. But Philadelphia, led by Claude Giroux, they got a potent offense of their own.
Yeah, it's not that much of a mismatch when you think about it that way. Pittsburgh obviously has the better offense, and they have the top power play in the NHL, which is obviously a huge advantage, particularly because Philly has a bad penalty kill.
Which is surprising.
It is surprising, but you know these things happen. And I mean, keep in mind, Philly's had goaltending issues throughout the season. Yes. I'm sure that didn't help when they were shorthanded, but... You're right, so many weapons, and you know, Claude Giroux, he'll probably get some hard votes. And you look at Sean Couturier, he had a massive year, massive breakout season for him. Point totals like we've never seen before, and he was still a good two-way player. So I think Philly, they've got some good weapons. You toss in Wayne Simmonds to that mix, and Travis Konechny can really do some nice things. But it's Pittsburgh, you know? They've got the playoff secret cracked, it seems. And when you have Malkin and Crosby going like they are this year and Phil Kessel, I think it's just going to be too much.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we know the hallmark of the Mike Sullivan era is the splitting of Crosby, Kessel, and Malkin onto three different lines. Mm-hmm. And it's specifically designed to stop guys like Sean Couturier, a team that has a great shutdown, an elite shutdown center. It's like, oh, okay, well... Okay, you play against Crosby, and we'll send out Evgeny Malkin against Nolan Patrick. Right. Good luck, Philadelphia. Right, like it's that kind of thing. The Penguins have. I think Crosby might have just fallen short of 90 points, but they had Malkin was high 90s, yeah. And Kessel was low 90s. Pittsburgh has still got that massive advantage because of the depth and the star power. It has the ability to combine both those things. So I think while Philly has made great strides offensively, it's still an advantage for Pittsburgh.
Penguins won the Stanley Cup with a piecemeal defense last year. They've got Chris Letang back this year. But who gets the edge in this category?
I'm actually calling this one even. If you look at Philadelphia's defense core, Ivan Provorov, Shane Gostisbehere, they've got some really nice young elements there. And in terms of goals against, these teams were pretty similar. The thing that dragged Philly down for me was the penalty kill. But if we're just looking at defense cores, I mean, Pittsburgh's won the cup with a lot of these guys, but this is not the same defense core they've had in the past. And, you know, Justin Schultz took a big step back this season in terms of his production. Jamie Oleksiak, Chad Ruedel, I mean, those are guys that they're really going to have to step up their game in the playoffs if Pittsburgh is going to survive or just make a long run. And, you know, Philly, they've got decent depth. But I would say it's even just because they're different, but there's sort of question marks in different categories within that subgenre of defense.
In terms of actual skaters, I think I might even like Philly better because I think I would take Provorov over every defenseman on the Penguins. And Gostisbehere maybe as well. He's had a great season.
Yeah.
And Sean Couturier, the best shutdown center on either team probably. I mean, Crosby's underrated in that ability too, but I think Couturier is going to be the one that gets Selke votes this year, not Crosby, right? But if we consider goaltending part of defense, then, I mean, it's funny, like this podcast could be a cassette tape from the 90s, and I could say the same thing. Since Ron Hextall, it's like the Flyers goaltending is a problem.
Yes.
And between Peter Mrazek, Brian Elliott, if Michael Neuwirth is healthy, I mean, we don't even know who's going to play the most games in net between that trio. And with respect to all three of those guys, I don't think you want any of them to be your starter. Yeah. I mean, we saw what happened to Brian Elliott last year. And Peter Mrazek is very inconsistent. Michael Neuwirth, he's had flashes of brilliance. in the playoffs before, but I mean, if he was going to be a true starter, it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
And Matt Murray, it hasn't been a great year for him, of course. But I mean, he's never not won the cup.
Exactly.
We can trust him when the games get really big, assuming his health holds up. So I think if you factor in the goaltending plus Philly's edge on defense, the net result is even defensively. Yeah.
What's an X factor in the series you're looking at?
Well, I think the X factor is the series itself, the Battle of Pennsylvania. I mean, we've seen chaos when these two teams have met in the past. I expect no different. They're not, you know, as burly as they once were. I mean, the NHL itself just isn't as fight happy as it once was. And I think that's going to transfer over to the playoffs. But having said that, you know, a guy like Wayne Simmonds can have such a nice impact because he's got that toughness, but he also has a boatload of skill. You know, Pittsburgh, they don't really care about that sort of thing. You know, they made the trade for Ryan Reeves, like, we gotta get tougher. And then Ryan Reeves played for them, like, okay, never mind. So he's in Vegas now. So I don't know if this series is going to be as rough and crazy as it once was, but that just tells me that it's going to be crazy in some other way that we haven't even thought of.
Sort of boring from a similar idea. I think Claude Giroux is my X factor. I mean, we saw in that 2012 series, he got in Crosby's head.
Mm.
The way Claude Giroux played down the stretch, you could argue he was better than even Crosby or Malkin over the last, let's say, I don't know, 3-4 weeks of the season. So if Giroux can maintain that level, is he the best player in this series right now?
Yeah.
And if you factor in the rivalry with Crosby, maybe Philly wins one of the first two games, and you go back to into Philly where once the games go back to Philly and the fans are just going crazy, anything can happen. And, you know, if Jenny Malkin's prone to taking frustration penalties, and maybe it's Giroux or Simmonds or whoever turns this into a wild track meet, I don't know. But I'll say that if that happens, that Giroux is going to be the guy that gets it started just by playing well enough to get Philly in the series and have the series be close by the time it goes back to Philadelphia.
Mm. The Penguins have played a lot of hockey over the past 2-3 seasons, and their stars have played even more hockey with international events. Is that a concern early in the playoffs?
Mm. I mean, it's a valid question. Are they this year's Chicago, where they just kind of flame out all of a sudden? I think that's a very good possibility because you're right. It's a lot of hockey and it's a lot of minutes for these guys.
I think if they're this year's Chicago, it's next year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because Chicago, before Chicago got swept, it lost in the first round in 7 to the Blues 2 years ago. And the thing about Pittsburgh, people worried about the mileage last year and it didn't have an impact. So I don't think it's a problem. I think the mileage thing is overrated, personally.
I'm going to answer my own question by saying Sidney Crosby. He's not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
He's
going
to let it happen.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter. I hear that.
Like that, the guy's a hockey beast. This could be game 200 of the season, and it wouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I think he drags his teammates along. Yeah. This guy knows how to win.
He's like, is there ice? Well, then I'm playing.
That's exactly it. Who's your pick for this series?
I think it's going to be an interesting series, but I still think Pittsburgh is the better team and will prevail in 6 games.
I also say Pittsburgh in 6.
Well, that series gets underway tonight or Wednesday if you're listening to this any other day but Wednesday. The rest of the Eastern series gets underway Thursday. For Matt Larkin and Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.